Our system basically failed its most fundamental tests. It was too fragile, too vulnerable to shock.
We're going to have to save those banks, save those banks, save those banks. Even if we cash out the guys that took the big bonuses.
I think the idea of injecting capital directly into banks is a good one.
When they fail, they get a bonus, the taxpayer gets the bill. It isn't right. It just simply isn't right.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. All week long, I look back at the year that was. It marked the beginning of the financial meltdown, which became the recession that we are dealing with in headlines virtually every day. And joining us to talk about this year, which began with the federal acquisition of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, organizations that we didn't necessarily know that much about before they became government-owned mortgage entities worth $5 trillion or more, and at the center of the housing meltdown, which became everything else that we have experienced in this last year. Joining us now is Gillian Tett, capital markets editor for the Financial Times, author of a great book, Fool's Gold, How the Bold Dream of a Small Tribe at J.P. Morgan Was Corrupted by Wall Street Greed and Unleashed a Catastrophe. She joins us from London. Good morning, Gillian.
Good morning.
Also with us is Joe Nocera, a New York Times business correspondent for our partner. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, John.
And John Hilzenrath is chief economics correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, whose byline was all over the stories that began a year ago and before. John, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, John, let's begin with you. When did you know this was off in uncharted territory? Was it a year ago? Was it before that?
Well, you know, for us, the story really started in the summer of 2007, I'd have to say, when two Bear Stearns hedge funds started teetering and had to be rescued by Bear Stearns itself. That was really the beginning of this cascade. Things seemed to have settled down in the summer of 2008, and then it blew up with Lehman Brothers. But by the time Lehman Brothers had collapsed, we already had a lot of exhausted reporters who were a year into digging into this story.
Indeed. And Joe Nocera, you were one of them. When do you think the point was that the broad American electorate became aware of financial crises that were going to have clear implications to all Americans and people all over the world?
Well, it did take a while because, Main Street doesn't necessarily see the link between its health and Wall Street's health. And so I would say that for a fair amount of time in 2008 when Bear Stearns failed and when the banks were taking these large write-downs but were still had the ability to raise capital, there was mainly a feeling of Schadenfreude on Main Street. But Lehman weekend, one of the things that happened that Monday after Lehman defaulted was that the stock market went down, remind me here, John, 500 or 600 points.
Yeah.
And it was suddenly there was fear in the air, and that fear was really quite palpable. And I would say that that was the weekend when Main Street said, we've got a problem, too.
Yeah, those kind of numbers.
And they went beyond just the stock market because, I mean, one of the real scary moments that Monday was when there was a money market fund named the Reserve Fund, which broke the buck. And people started thinking not only that their stock market investments were going away, but that their really safe cash investments.
Their cash investments
disappeared, too.
Right, which caused the prospect of a run on the banks and something much, much wider. Gillian Tett, there are so many scenes in your book, Fool's Gold, that describe the really very, very beginnings of all this. And it goes way back before a year ago. What do you think the mathematicians and the brainiacs who really started these kind of large-scale derivatives had in mind and missed when they got started in some of the great scenes that you describe in Fool's Gold?
Well, for the most part, they thought they were building a safer financial system. I mean, that is a terrible irony of all this innovation, is that the idea was that by slicing and dicing up credit risks and into newfangled instruments and spreading them all over the world, they thought they'd have a system which would be able to contain the shocks and absorb any blows. And it turned out to be dead wrong, because in fact what has happened in the last 2 years is that the system has become prone to terrible contagion and really an explosion of fear, as people have realized they don't really understand how finance works.
Well, you discovered that when you were trying to get to the bottom of these derivatives markets. And it seems to me that the theme of your book is hiding risk is different from eliminating risk, and that a lot of very senior people on Wall Street and around the world didn't understand that.
That's absolutely right. And going back to, say, the summer of 2007, one of the key reasons why the collapse of the Bear Stearns hedge funds caused so much panic was that people suddenly realized that not only were many of these securities, which are supposed to be ultra-safe, not so safe after all, but also it was incredibly hard to understand who was actually exposed to that. And you had the very unpleasant equivalent of, say, a food poisoning scare, where people knew that there were bad assets in the system, subprime mortgages were going wrong, and that really began to be clear in the summer of 2007. But it took a very long time to work out where the buck stopped in terms of who was exposed to it.
Oh, that's a great takeaway. John Hilsenrath, you talked about fear feeding on itself a moment ago. The inability to value things really created a pause in time where fear built, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the problems the Lehman Brothers weekend was that, you know, with formulating a rescue, was that people were very unsure about what Lehman Brothers' portfolio was. You know, the Fed has a policy that it can lend against good assets. In the end, they, you know, one of the arguments that they've made since the collapse was that they couldn't lend against Lehman Brothers' assets because it turned out that they were worth a lot less than Lehman Brothers were saying they were worth on their books. That was one of many symptoms of this valuation problem.
Right. And, John, the flip side of that, of course, is that they then agreed, they were so scared about AIG, they agreed to lend money to AIG, $85 billion worth, allegedly because it did have collateral,
right,
which, of course, if there's one bucket of money that the government may never get back, it's the money they lent
right
to AIG.
Yeah.
All right, so quickly,
AIG was central to the innovation storm. You know,
right.
They were
central to the innovations. Right. Exactly.
You know, it also points to something about, you know, we're talking about the innovation and you know how the original idea was that it's supposed to disperse risk. I mean, what happened in the year or two before all of this cascaded upon itself was that a lot of these derivatives were used to multiply risk and
right
not to disperse it. You had credit default swaps, where basically it became a gambling casino for people to make bets on the financial health of financial institutions and other companies.
Well, we've got to go, unfortunately. John Hilsenrath, Jonah Sarah, and Gillian Tett, very, very quickly. Have we learned lessons in the past year, Gillian, yes or no?
I think we certainly have heard lessons, but the big question is whether policymakers can actually implement the proper solutions to deal with those lessons.
Jonah Sarah, what do you think?
I agree with Gillian. We still haven't solved too big to fail. We still haven't solved capital requirements. We still haven't solved what to do about the rating agencies.
Oh.
I mean, you know, we got issues.
Getting depressed, Joe. John, take us out quickly, really quickly.
I agree with both of your other guests. You know, it's amazing that they still don't have a system in place for dealing with a financial institution
wow
that's on the brink of collapse.
John Hilsenrath, chief economics correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. Jonah Sarah, New York Times business columnist. Gillian Tett, who wrote Fool's Gold, capital markets editor for the Financial Times. A year of financial meltdown. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.